the campus. Reporter Pamela Osborne with NBC affiliate WKYC.
It was a teacher who noticed that he had posted this tweet and had either hashtagged it or did at Kent State and threatened again to shoot up the campus.
In Anaheim, the ninth consecutive day of protests over two police shootings, NBC's Janet Kwok was there.
Officers push back protesters. One even draws a shotgun on the crowd, forcing demonstrators to step back as police make an arrest. The group then tried to march to Disneyland, but authorities tell us they were turned back when they began disrupting traffic.
This is NBC News Radio. Dominance of the U.S. smartphone and tablet computer markets could be at stake in San Francisco in court today. Apple is suing Samsung, claiming its smartphones and tablets are illegal knockoffs of the iPhone and iPad. Apple wants $2.5 billion in damages. President Bill Clinton has been tapped for a major speech at the Democratic National Convention, asked personally by President Obama to do it. He'll deliver the speech to put President Obama's name in nomination during a primetime slot. Mitt Romney moves from Israel to Poland today, his third and final stop on his three-nation overseas trip, pledging in Israel to prevent Iran from getting nuclear weapons.
My message to the people of Israel and the leaders of Iran is one and the same. We will not look away.
And a new panda cub has been born at the San Diego Zoo. It's the zoo's sixth. That's a record outside of China. Mom and baby are doing fine and can be seen on the zoo's webcam. I'm Scott Walterman, NBC News Radio.
The Home Depot is rolling out a new way to do any paint project faster. New Behr Premium Plus Ultra with stain blocking, now just $31.98 a gallon. The number one paint and primer in one now has powerful new stain blocking for the toughest jobs and better adhesion on almost any surface. Time to roll with new improved Behr Ultra, the newest way to a faster paint project. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
Newman, where's Shipley with my cost analysis?
She's homesick, Mr. Fernwell. I'll handle it.
Ooh.
Ooh. Oh, no, were you sick too, sir?
Newman, last time you did the cost analysis, it wasn't pretty. Call Bob from Accountemps.
Oh, I never get to do any of the important stuff.
Okay, you can do payroll.
Yes! What's that?
On second thought, Bob from Accountemps could handle payroll, too.
Bob, Bob, Bob.
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
Some hot air soon will be let out of the airline industry's soaring prices. So predicts the firm Fair Compare, pointing out that we usually see price relief in the late summer. And this year we can expect to witness a 10 to 20% drop in fares affecting flights starting the third week of August. Another nightmare for Boeing's big 787 Dreamliner jet. The National Transportation Safety Board is looking into an accident over the weekend involving a 787 test flight. Hot debris fell from one of the engines and sparked a grass fire at the Charleston, South Carolina airport. Investigators already have ruled out an object getting sucked into the engine, so the debris was from the engine itself. Spain, the nation whose financial state most Europe economy watchers worry about the most, is reporting it sank deeper into recession last quarter, down 0.4%. But stock markets across Europe are peaking higher. Not so much stateside, S&P futures losing 2 points, Dow futures down 9. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
I'm a mid-sized business.
One of the engines of a smarter planet.
I want to run my business in the cloud.
Who can I trust?
A bookstore?
A search site?
I need a partner with experience.
To manage my infrastructure.
And help keep my data secure.
Introducing IBM Smart Cloud, starting at $56 per month. Learn why IBM is the smarter choice for cloud at IBM.com/engines/cloud. Price subject to change.
Quietus contains homeopathic ingredients traditionally used to provide relief.
Can you hear that sound? That ringing. That hissing.
I can't get to sleep with it.
I can't concentrate. I hear it constantly.
It's tinnitus.
A constant ringing in your ear.
Ah, finally. Quietus.
I couldn't believe it. No more ringing in the ears. No more hissing sound.
Call right now for your risk-free trial of Quietus at 1-800-713-3982. 1-800-713-3982. 1-800-713-3982.
And if we combine your auto and renter's policies, you could save $600.
That's like magic.
So, it's like magic.
David Copperfield.
Can your magic policy do this?
The car is levitating.
David!
David, we're an insurance company. We don't cause accidents.
Oh, it's no accident. It's magic.
Bundle your auto and renter's policies with State Farm and save an average of $600. Get to a better state. Call 1-800-STATE-FARM today. Average household savings based on 2010 National Survey of New Policyholders who reported savings by switching to State Farm.
The Home Depot is rolling out a new way to do any paint project faster. New Behr Premium Plus Ultra with stain blocking, now just $31.98 a gallon. The number one paint and primer in one now has powerful new stain blocking for the toughest jobs and better adhesion on almost any surface. Time to roll with new improved Behr Ultra, the newest way to a faster paint project. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
When they told you it was all about the kids, that teachers need to share in the sacrifice, that forcing big pay cuts and blaming our educators was the way to go.
There was First Shift and Tony Trupiano, standing up for what's right.
With difference makers like David Hecker.
The debate is not really, should this be our position or that should be our position. A lot of times it's the details of that and what are we striving to achieve and what's the best strategy as outlined in the resolution.
Keith Johnson.
He had these three sessions with his representative who pretty much sat on the other side of the table and said, this is what we intend to do for you. And it had nothing to do with bargaining.
Charlie Harris.
There's no accident that the way you select the indicators has a political overtone, and certainly it was the Republican side of the state that got the larger proportion.
And now it has come to this.
Live from downtown Detroit
at the American Federation of Teachers Michigan Convention, it's time to punch in for First Shift. Here's Tony Trupiano.
And welcome, everybody. I am Tony Trupiano. A pleasant and glorious Monday morning to all of you. We are live at Cobo Hall again this Monday morning. It is a gorgeous morning outside, a lovely 68 degrees when we were coming in. Beautiful weekend, by the way, for those of you, of course, that had a chance to enjoy a little bit of the weather. I don't know that summer weekends get any better than the one we just had. It is an honor and a pleasure once again to be live at Cobo Hall, where the American Federation of Teachers Conference wraps up its stated goals today. And those people, 3,500 plus from all over the country, will hop back on airplanes and trains and automobiles and go about their merry way, being empowered by one Joseph Biden, who was, of course, here yesterday and addressed them. We'll bring you some of that audio a little bit later on in the show today. We've got three amazing guests to share with you. One of them will be the president of the United Federation of Teachers. That is the union that covers the state of New York. We'll also visit with the president of the American Federation of Teachers of West Virginia. They have a public-private partnership that we're excited to share with you. And last but not least, Dr. Patrick Roach will be joining us. Dr. Roach is the head of the Teachers Union. They call him the Deputy General Secretary of the Teachers Union in the United Kingdom. And so I'm sure that he has plenty to discuss, including his pride for his homeland as they host the Olympics. We're going to talk about the Olympics here in just a little bit. So a lot to get to today as we work through our last day here. We'll be back in the studio tomorrow and looking forward to getting back. It's always good to get out. It's always good to get back. So all that being said, Anthony is back today, so we're happy to have him. We also had a chance to record some folks over the weekend. And we're going to bring you some of those interviews. The United Students Against Sweatshops were here asking for organized labor support. They got it. We'll talk to Haymarket Books. It's a publisher, as you'll find out, a publisher of books that represent, quote-unquote, our side, especially from a labor perspective. And then we're going to talk to the organization First Book. You remember we briefly talked about that with Linda Bridges from AFT Texas on Friday. Well, they had a booth here, and so we had a chance to visit with them a little bit. So we'll get to all that as well. With that said, let me say good morning to Jeff Radford. And Jeff, although
Miss seeing you, pal. Thanks for everything you're doing to support us back in the studio. And although we're looking forward to today, we're also looking forward to cleaning up and seeing you in the morning.
Oh, well, thanks, and good morning. Pretty busy weekend you had out there, huh?
Yeah, it was a busy weekend. Had a chance, especially on Saturday, really spoke to a lot of teachers from all over the country. I really spent some time in what most people would probably consider a boring conversation or boring part of the convention, which was the process. And what I mean by the process, Jeff, was the actual, I don't know, business of conventions. They debate their mission statement. They debate their constitution. They, you know, they change things. They vote on the dues structure. And, you know, so to be privy to that, because I had an all-access pass, to be privy to that was really kind of, it was very, very interesting. Had a chance to talk to a lot of people as, you know, people would stand up, and it was really neat the way that they, and you and I were talking before the show started. This is one high-tech convention, by the way. They have HD cameras everywhere. They've got HD screens everywhere. They've got a sound system that's pristine. I don't care where you're at in this hall, you can hear a pin drop. Everything is mic'd to the nth degree. So in that regard, they've really done an amazing job. It was just really fascinating to be a part of to actually witness the business part of this convention, because there's business that goes on here. I will also say, Jeff, I talked to a handful of people that told me how disappointed they were in the way they physically found Detroit, that it looks abandoned. A lot of these folks were here since Tuesday. Why that early? Well, they had business to do here. So they, you know, there was a lot of stuff that had to be done before the convention actually started on Thursday, which is when it started. And we just started our commitment on Friday. But it was really interesting as people talked about, you know, after their stuff was done for the day, they would go to restaurants or they would go to entertainment venues. They were surprised at how quiet it was in Detroit and how desolate it looked in certain places. And it's kind of hard. And a lot of these folks jumped on the People Mover, which is only a couple miles long, by the way. And they were just surprised at how quiet and like I said, and desolate the city seemed to me. And it's kind of hard to defend that, Jeff, because I think they're seeing what was really here.
Well, and happy birthday, by the way, to the People Mover, 25 years strong. But, I was thinking as you were saying that, if the Tigers were in town, and how, I guess it's sad to say, but if the Tigers were in town, you'd see a lot more people downtown and enjoying Detroit. But if it takes that, you know, like a sports team in town for people to, you know, make noise and get around, but maybe that says it enough in and of itself. But, you know, that's where Detroit's at right now. You scale back a little bit, and then at least that's what it looks like it's going to be. You scale back a little bit and, you know, start bringing in the urban farming and all that, and the next thing you know, people will come back. I think, you know, Detroit's in a transition period, and we think we all know
that.
Well,
let's hope that what you're saying is true. You'll remember last year when Stephanie Miller was in town, that night that that we were so busy, we were standing out front, and there was, I believe it was Tim McGraw was in
town.
Kenny Chesney, and then there was, of course, the Tigers game, and the Lions had a preseason game that night. And it was so busy downtown, and it felt so vibrant and alive, and it was just fun just to be standing outside.
The key word. It was fun.
Yeah, it was. It was. And it was a very quiet weekend. There was nothing, and here it is, the middle of summer. Now, I believe, remember the festivals? Every weekend there would be, and they still do them, but they just don't advertise them anymore. The Arab American Festival was downtown this weekend. Did you know about it? I certainly didn't. And the only reason I knew about it is I happened to be down here this weekend.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything. And I wish I would have, you know. I mean, I wanted to hear more. I've been kind of actively searching out to go to some of that stuff, but I didn't hear anything.
Yeah, it's just a little disappointing. Maybe a little disappointing. But I appreciated the people being honest with me about their impressions. I mean, none of them said, oh, my God, this is disgusting. It's a horrible place to be. How can you stand being here? What they were saying was really more a true reflection. Why? It's so quiet. It just looks deserted. And okay, well, it does. In fact,
A couple people said that they had gone to Pegasus for dinner, which is a wonderful place to go for dinner. And they said it wasn't very busy at all. Another couple had told me that they had gone to Fishbones, and they couldn't believe how beautiful it was and how great the food was. And they were saying, my God, you know, we live in Seattle. This place would be jam-packed busy 24-7. They wouldn't be able to close. It'd be so busy. This place is so nice, so beautiful. The food is so great.
Well, at least they're saying nice things like that about, you know, I think Detroit kind of gets a bad rep. Like, you just, people have this thought of the reputation of Detroit in their head already. And then they come here, and they're like, wow, this is better than we You know, obviously, people around the country don't know what Detroit has to offer, so maybe that's part of the reason why it's so quiet.
Well, you're right. Then that could be it. You know, and part of the and I hate to say this because you know how much I don't ever agree with Nolan Finley, but he did his column yesterday, interestingly enough, was really about, it started with the Belle Isle thing, but the greater point is, you know, the people of Detroit, the leaders of Detroit, keep on defending something that used to be, not something that is. And I think that there's some real truth to that. They're defending the idea of what Detroit once was, and they have to stop doing that. They either need to decide to go in another direction or to rebuild what once was, but to defend something that no longer exists. Like Belle Isle. I mean, the reality of Belle Isle is it's falling apart. And what did Stephen Henderson say on Wednesday? That there are things that on maintenance issues that need to be handled on an annual basis that are now being ignored, and you know the island actually sinks a few feet every single year. And if they don't do something about that, they don't start working on these abatement issues, it's going to be a problem. So if the state wants to step in, you know, we had a couple calls on Friday about this, Jeff, where people were saying, you know, yeah, we don't mind the state wanting to step in. We just had a problem with the length of the agreement, which was 99 years. Well, you know, maybe this is one of those compromises we just need to kind of settle on. All right, we're going to take a break here. Lots to get to. Feel free to join us, by the way, 888-552-3595. Truly enjoying myself here at Cobo Hall. Anthony and I are here. We'll wrap things up today, pack it up, and get back to the studio tomorrow. In the meantime, we are at the American Federation of Teachers National Conference. Stay where you're at. Plenty to get to right after this.
First Shift with Tony Trujillo.
We're going to run out of time, and I just want to ask, what specifically are you going to do to provide universal coverage to the 30 million people who are uninsured?
That is not the issue.
On 1310
WDTW.
But you don't think the 30 million people who are uninsured is an issue?
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Checking your drive, just got some road construction. M59 eastbound between Van Dyke and Hayes Road. Two lanes are closed until 5 a.m. Tuesday. Also, more construction on Crooks Road, north and south between Starbat Drive and West Hamlin. That starts today. Also, starting today at 9 a.m., M14 eastbound at 275. Road construction will have your right lane closed. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today, mostly sunny skies and a high of 87. Tonight, the clouds roll in, bringing a low of 71. Tomorrow, the storms come back with a high of 87. Right now, partly cloudy and 73. I'm Jeff, and that's your First Shift weather.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely, so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together, until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
This is D. Alexander Bullard. Join me and Tony Trippiano on August 25th at 12 noon for the Crusade for America Parent and Youth March. We march for an urban policy. We march for a war on poverty. We march to save democracy. We march to stop gun violence. Get active, get engaged, and get involved. For more information, like us on Facebook at Rainbow Push Detroit and follow us on Twitter at Rainbow Push MI.
No show in Michigan covers education, teachers, and the people who fight for their well-being like First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now,
live from the American Federation of Teachers Convention in downtown Detroit,
here's Tony Trupiano.
Audio here in just a minute. Before we do that, though, we really do need to check back in with Jeff, talk a little sports. Tigers did not have a great weekend. Michigan Olympians did not have a great weekend. Jeff, did you happen to watch any of the opening ceremony?
Actually, I saw all of the opening ceremony.
I'm sorry.
I don't know why, but I was enthralled. I watched the entire thing, and it wasn't all that exciting.
As did I. I watched the entire thing as well, and it went on for two very long plus hours. I didn't quite get it, and I know that there's a lot of post-opening ceremony analysis, which I have not had a chance to read, so I don't know what it's all about. I'm confused and maybe even a little afraid.
Why is that?
It was that weird. It yeah. really was weird.
Yeah, it definitely was kind of weird.
You know, and maybe it's not fair that you look at Beijing, which was just a spectacular. And I you know, the first thing that you hear, and I did read this, that Beijing had a lot more money to dedicate to the opening ceremonies than they did at the London Games, and so that's fine. And maybe it has something to do with the British sensibility. I don't know that to be true or not. I just thought it was really weird, dude. It was, like I said, it scared me a little bit.
Well, Olympics in general do that. Like, have you seen the Olympic, the mascots with a giant eye and they walk around like Gumby?
Yeah.
I don't get it. Every year it seems like the Olympic mascots are these freaks.
Well, okay. I'm not gonna argue with you on that one. It is. We'll come back to the Olympics in just a moment. God bless you, Anthony. Anthony just got me a cup of coffee. Thank you, son. Let's talk a little bit about the Tigers. Tough weekend. Actually, tough weekend for the Yankees. I was listening on the way in and didn't realize that they had that Boston had gotten the best of them this weekend.
Well, thank goodness. Screw the Yankees. Sorry about the words, but seriously, I don't care about the Yankees at all. I love to see them lose.
No question. I have no problem with that as well. He wasn't paying a lot of attention to the Tigers. I know that Johnny Peralta hit a couple home runs yesterday. I know they won 4-1, and that's about all I know.
Vister pitched well yesterday.
Very good.
Yeah.
Like I said, I didn't have a chance to. Yesterday was a catch-up day for me because I lost the entire day Saturday. Not in a bad way. I was here, and that's where my priority was. So, anyway, are we now in second place? Where are we at now?
Behind the White Sox. The Indians have had a tough time of it as well lately. They're taking on the Twins, who, by the way, traded Francisco Liriano to the White Sox.
I did see that in the paper yesterday morning.
Yeah, that's crazy.
For a couple prospects, right?
I don't know how good. It almost seems like they basically gave him away, which, you know, maybe they did. Maybe White Sox fans were thinking that last year. Maybe, you know, I don't even. Indian fans were thinking that last year when we got Peralta. Or actually, not Peralta, but whatever. You know, when you do interdivision trading like that, and the Tigers got Dumb and Young, basically we got them for nothing. And so the Indians are like, hey, thanks a lot, Twins. You know, I mean, that's how I feel right now. Like, hey, thanks a lot, Twins. Thanks for giving them another starter.
Absolutely. Well, interestingly, we'll now turn our attention back to the Olympics a little bit. Interestingly, Michael Phelps has basically made himself look bad. Unprepared is what I read over and over and over again yesterday. He was not prepared for the Olympic Games. How can you not be prepared? He's been doing this since he was 15, which I thought was really interesting. Didn't medal in what is considered his best event. So you have to wonder what that does for him moving forward. You know, the idea that he was going to be the most decorated Olympian ever, I guess it's still possible, but not very probable at this point.
Yeah, he's got some work to do. But, at least Ryan Lochte is, him and his Olympic grill are actually showing up to the games. Have you seen his grill, by the way?
No, but I read about it.
You know what a grill is, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, just for anyone who's listening and doesn't know, it's basically like a diamond-plated retainer, and it just covers up the front of his teeth, and it's like diamonds, and I think it's an Olympic flag, or a U.S. flag, right?
Right.
So when he smiles, he bit the gold medal and then showed off his grill, and that was like a huge story. Like, right now it's cute because he's winning gold medals. Like, they're like, oh, this is so hilarious. But as soon as he starts losing, they'll be like, that jerk in his grill.
Yeah, pretty much. Although, you know, I'm not, well, anyway, I'll keep my mouth shut. I'm not a big fan of grills. I'm not a big fan of grills. I'm not a big fan of tattoos. I'm not a big fan of a lot of things. In so many ways, I'm such a square.
What's your favorite summer event?
Beach volleyball. Women's,
of course,
beach. I'm just being honest with you.
By the way, it's supposed to be cold in London, so they actually are going to wear different uniforms. You saw that story, right?
Still worth watching.
That's true. Beach volleyball aside, I do like that. But for an athletic event, I like boxing. And there was a great fight over the weekend. I don't know if you saw it. Terrell Gachet is from Cleveland. And he wasn't really thought to do too much. But he had one of the best fights of the weekend. And he's actually moving on. So I love Olympic boxing. They've changed it a little bit, but I do like Olympic boxing.
Well, I'm not going to, we talked about this last week, I'm not going to watch a lot of the Olympics, just not going to do it, I do read about them, and of course this young lady from DeWitt, Jordan Weber, is that how you say her last name?
I think it's Weber, but it's only one B, Weber. Which is kind of weird.
Yeah, and it's W-E-I, so whatever, doesn't matter, because she's done. She's absolutely done, cannot medal. Very briefly read about it in the paper yesterday, just she did not show up. One of her teammates ended up doing exceptionally well. She ended up doing exceptionally poor. And as a result, will not be in medal consideration. And she was, of course, the reigning world champion, especially in overall gymnastics. A huge disappointment, especially for NBC, who was obviously looking to sell her as, the second coming of Oksana Bayul or whoever you wanted to say. I mean, she was going to be the next best thing, and it's just not going to happen now, Jeff.
Isn't that the great thing about the Olympics, though, is that, all right, you had Phelps and her and all these other people that they were looking to pump up. Like, we're going to build this around these athletes, and they don't do so well. But then out of nowhere, other athletes, you know, come up and suddenly take over and do well for the United States, and that's what I think. You know, you can plan something, but it won't go according to plan, and yet the best things normally are the ones that are spontaneous.
you'll remember a couple years back they were doing this pre-Olympic thing with Dan and Dave. Do you remember that? And Dan and Dave ended up not meddling. They didn't, you know, they ended up not being competitive. It was a similar situation. First couple days of the Olympics, they got knocked out.
Well, didn't one make it and one not make it?
Well, yeah, but he didn't make it very far. But it ruined their whole marketing scheme, and they had to drop it before it even got started. And so, you know, just one of the realities. Sorry, a quick break here. We've got some audio on the other side. We've got some great guests that we'll bring to you throughout the morning as we wrap up our visit here to the American Federation of Teachers National Conference at Cobo Hall. We'll take the break and be back right after we do this.
Blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women who put in a hard day's work every day. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
Continuous Traffic Watch.
So far, you got a quiet commute, just got some road construction. It's going to have your two lanes closed on M59 eastbound between Van Dyke and Hayes. That's scheduled until 5 a.m. tomorrow morning. And also Coolidge at 696. The left lane is going to be closed on the ramp to 696 eastbound today, starting at 11 a.m. until 3 p.m., and that's for light inspection. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today, mostly sunny skies and a high of 87. Tonight, the clouds roll in, bringing a low of 71. Tomorrow, the storms come back with a high of 87. Right now, partly cloudy and 73. I'm Jeff, and that's your First Shift weather.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift with me, Tony Trupiano, after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
I, for one, am tired of hearing complaints that our giant bailed-out banks have simply taken the money and run, giving nothing back to society. That's why I'm so pleased that a new economic analysis from English tax experts has put the lie to this canard. Their study reveals that Barclays, Citibank, Goldman Sachs, HSBC, JP Morgan Chase, and other rescued giants have, in fact, been phenomenally helpful to many people in deep need. In particular, during 2010 alone, such bankers helped people move at least $21 trillion in wealth from the U.S. and other nations into tax havens like the Cayman Islands. Yes, these compassionate bankers created a handy financial channel so folks like us can dodge our tax bills. What? You say you don't have an offshore bank account and that this is just another scam for the super rich? Well, now that's your problem. It's not the banker's fault that you lack the wealth to qualify for their benevolent assistance. Good grief. The malevolence of these bankers is unfathomable. First, their greed destroyed the jobs and middle-class dreams of millions of workaday people. Then, we had to bail them out, while we were forced to take more cuts in wages, thus plunging millions into poverty. And they repay us how? By foreclosing on our homes, secretly jacking up our interest rates, laundering money for terrorists, and helping the shameless uber-wealthy hide trillions of dollars in the black holes of offshore accounts to escape paying the taxes they owe to America. Money desperately needed to rebuild the middle class. This is Jim Hightower saying, these soulless scoundrels would steal the nickels off a dead man's eyes, and their avaricious abuse is pushing people to the point of parading guillotines down Wall Street. To see the full report on their tax-dodging scam, go to taxjustice.net, taxjustice.net.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
This is U.S. Congressman Gary Peters, and I'm running for re-election in the 14th District. Other communities in this new district, like Pontiac, Southfield, and Oak Park, already know my passion for serving. They know my track record of getting things done, like helping President Obama pass the health care bill and save the auto industry. They know that I also helped create nearly 3,500 jobs in our area. And while I may not be from Detroit, the fights I've led in Congress have benefited struggling families across the city. That's why this message is for you, Detroit. I firmly believe that our region will never be successful without a vibrant city of Detroit. If you vote for me, I commit to you that no other candidate will ever outwork me and that no other community will ever outweigh you. I'm asking for the honor of serving you in the new 14th Congressional District, and more importantly, I'm asking for your vote. I'm Gary Peters, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Peters for Congress.
Welcome back to First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, live from the American Federation of Teachers Convention in downtown Detroit, here's Tony Trupiano.
Well, welcome back. I am live at Cobo Hall. Pleasure to be with you. We'll be out here throughout the day today. We've got some great guests to bring to you a little bit later on. I did capture some audio over the weekend. We're going to get to that as well. Our guests don't start till 7:30, so we've got plenty of time to talk about some other things. I want to start with Dick Cheney, of all the crazy people, will be a guest on ABC News. Perhaps he's going to be on Good Morning America this morning. Anyway, ABC News did a preview of the interview with Dick Cheney, and may come as a bit of a surprise for some of you. Let's take a listen.
How important is it for him to do this in a way that is different than the way John McCain handled his vice presidential search?
Pretty important. That one I don't think was well handled. And I sort of think of it as... There are two lists. There's the big list that's got a lot of folks on it. I actually, when I was doing it for, I did it for Ford in 76, but then again for George W. Bush in 2000, I had a couple of calls from prominent politicians who'd say, you know, it really helped me in my race back home, Dick, if I was on the list. Done, you're on the list. Then somebody could go leak the fact that they were on the list. But that was the big list. It was easy to get on the big list. The tough part is the small list, the one that's really under active consideration. And the test to get on that small list has to be, is this person capable of being president of the United States? And that's usually a very, very short list.
What about the other considerations? Can you bring a state? Can you reach out to a specific demographic, woman, Hispanic?
Those are important issues, but they should never be allowed to override that first proposition. And I think that was one of the problems McCain had. I like Governor Palin. I've met her. I know her. She's an attractive candidate. But based on her background, she'd only been governor for about 2 years. I don't think she passed that test.
Of being ready.
Of being ready to take over. And I think that was a mistake.
All right, well, I mean, it wasn't as damaging as I thought maybe it would be. He kind of backed off the ledge there. I liked, Jeff, that the big list and the little list. And, you know, yeah, I can see where it would be attractive to be on the, you know, just say, hey, you know, I'm being considered. And let's take a look at some of the names that we've heard, you know, like Marco Rubio, Eric Cantor. Paul Ryan, you start to ask yourself, are these big list or little list people, Condoleezza Rice? And then, of course, there's, you know, the other part of that is from a marketing standpoint. You say, okay, well, you know, if certain names are all of a sudden on the list, how does it help the candidate? Or does it help the candidate is maybe the better question. You know, and Jeff, here's the challenge. You want your vice presidential nom to be somebody that's not you. You want it to be somebody that isn't really ready for prime time, right? Or do you want your vice presidential nom to be somebody that is ready for prime time? I don't think that's an interesting line to walk, don't you?
It is, and it's almost like you're looking for your wingman. Not somebody to outshine you, but someone to compliment you. And I think, I really questioned if Joe Biden was a good choice. But he's in the last, I would say, 6 months, he's basically proven that he's not only is he a good choice, but maybe the best choice, especially with the speeches he's been giving to Teamsters and, of course, AFT over the weekend.
Well, interestingly, we were talking about this in studio last week, and you had typed into the screen something about, you know, I said that he was kind of a wild card, and you had typed into the communication screen that we work, not so much lately, and people seem to really be embracing him. I think they've been embracing him for a long time, but you always, I think, you know, part of how we judge a vice president is how well the other side perceives them. And we know that Republicans don't like Joe Biden for all the reasons we don't want them to like him. He says what needs to be said. He's not afraid to, quote-unquote, leak information. And I get a kick out of that because, you know, he's actually very, very good at that. I don't think that there are accidents. Well, not that there aren't gaffes, but I don't think that there are accidents in Joe Biden's world. I think that when he says something, quote-unquote, controversial, Jeff, you know, we'll remember this whole gay marriage thing. What the president started with a Joe Biden interview. If you think that that was a mistake on Joe Biden's part and then all of a sudden the president had to address it, think again. They knew exactly what they were doing there. Are they going to admit to it? No. Do they need to? Absolutely not. But it's all very interesting. Well, it'll be interesting to see if the interview's on Good Morning America this morning. I will not be able to see it, but I'm sure I will be able to find it online nonetheless. So anyway, as we know, Mitt Romney is off on his European jaunt. We talked Friday at great detail what an ass he made of himself in London. Well, he's not doing a much better job in Israel as well. Let's listen to some audio. From this week, Kevin Madden, who's a Romney advisor, is now saying nobody's really going to remember this. And I've heard other pundits say it as well, that they're not going to remember these gaffes. I'm not so sure it's as true, Jeff, on these foreign trips, because we're talking about foreign policy issues, which don't become as big an issue in domestic elections as they once did. Let's listen to Kevin Madden.
Some images that are coming out of Israel with him standing strong with our allies there, some strong statements coming out of Israel. I think that's going to be much more important as a judgment on this particular trip than anything that happened.
Matthew, I would probably give that answer, too, if I hadn't flown to London and embarrassed myself in front of our strongest ally in the world. Look, Mitt Romney wondered aloud whether London was ready for the Olympics, and I think it's clear that voters in this country wonder aloud whether Mitt Romney is ready for the world, and I think the world is not yet ready for Mitt Romney. I think there's literally to go overseas, stand in the country of our strongest ally, in an Olympics that they've been preparing years for, and question whether or not they're ready, does make you wonder whether or not he's ready to be commander-in-chief.
Well, and obviously, that was the beginning of the trip.
Right.
As Kevin referenced, he's having an end of his trip, where he's in Israel today.
And let's hope the do-over goes better than the initial audition.
All right, and that second voice you hear is Robert Gibbs, former communications director for the Obama White House. And certainly, Robert makes a profoundly important point. This trip's not over yet. And Romney continues to make mistakes. Jeff, I don't know if you saw the story over the weekend, but the Romney campaign is not allowing the American press into some of the events that Romney's doing, including fundraisers, which they had previously agreed to allow poll reporters into. Now they're not letting them. And this has now become a major issue. Now that they're in Israel, Romney has technically Monday for them, but had a major fundraiser yesterday, or early this morning, if you will, did not let the American press in. And all the Romney spokesperson would keep on saying is, this is a closed press event. This is closed press. This is closed press. That's all he would say. And they had already agreed to let the press in. Now they're letting the foreign press in some of these events, but not all of them. And this has been very troublesome for the campaign. I don't think that they're making any friends, and I think maybe they don't care. I don't know why, Jeff. I don't know why they're acting the way they're acting, but they're certainly being pretty overt about it.
I would think it's because they're trying to cover up, make sure that no more stuff happens, no more gaffes. But I think you're right. It comes off as, look, you're not important right now. We're trying to get in good with the foreign countries right now. And that doesn't make sense to the Americans, I would think.
I read an article yesterday where one of this reporter had said that Romney talks differently to the fundraising crowd than he does to the public, and he'll tell the fundraising crowd what they want to hear. And I guess it was a couple months back, he had said that he was going to radically reduce the size of the Department of Education and was seriously considering getting rid of the Housing and Urban Development, HUD, which is not something Democrats want to hear at all. And so, as you have independents or Even the moderate Republicans, they don't want the Department of Education to disappear. They don't want housing and urban development to disappear. This becomes a problem. So they're saying that Mitt Romney's probably telling these folks things that he doesn't want the public to know. Well, we have a right to know. This is a job interview. And I guess we're just going to have to wait and see what happens. But
you're kidding. Mitt Romney is actually getting charged with saying what he thinks the crowd wants him to say?
Yeah, imagine that. You know, I got to tell you, this says something not just about Mitt Romney, but it also says something about President Obama, that he isn't up, that President Obama isn't up 20 points nationally. Says that there are a lot of people that are still too willing to consider even a dysfunctional Republican like Mitt Romney, knowing what they know about him. And that really makes me uncomfortable. I said to somebody this weekend, until this election is over, I will be 100% absolutely convinced that the Republicans could take it. So if Democrats don't get out there and vote, don't get out the vote, don't get people registered to vote, don't fight these voter suppression laws all over the country, every vote will count. Article in the paper yesterday says that this race is up to 8 separate states. You can Google it. You'll find the article. I think it's about all of them, to be honest. Let's take a quick, because we need all the votes we can get. Let's take a quick break here. And, of course, the Electoral College factors in. We know all that. Quick break here. More audio on the other side, but we got to get to the break. So I'm Tony Trupiano, live at Cobo Hall at the AFT convention. Let's do it. We'll be back right after this.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Well, I think you hit a reset button for the fall campaign. Everything changes. It's almost like an Etch-a-Sketch. You can kind of shake it up and we start all over again.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring, drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
No show in Michigan covers education, teachers, and the people who fight for their well-being like First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, live from the American Federation of Teachers Convention in downtown Detroit, here's Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. A little bit more Mitt Romney news. You know, you've got to wonder, and I've been around politics a long time now, better part of 20 years. I mean, really actively involved in the better part of the last 20 years, if not longer. And I've never seen so many people on a side, this happens to be the Republicans, so critical of their nominee. Or presumed nominee. I'm sorry, we need to treat that the way it is until the August convention. Chip Saltzman, who was on Fox News yesterday, had his own take on Mitt Romney. This is what he had to say.
Chip, as someone who managed Mike Huckabee in 2008, who's managed other political candidates, how do you explain Romney's, and I've been thinking how I'm going to phrase this, inartful performance in London?
Well, since the Olympics started, maybe you can call it an unforced error. And unforced errors usually lose you the match. And although this is, you know, the good news is those 60,000 people were not voters, or at least we hope not. depends on Chicago's voting strategy, I guess. But at the end of the day, this should have been a layup trip. When you go to London, he's got the Olympic experience. You think the guy writing the memo would say, and be positive. I mean, this is an exciting time for London. But I think what you saw there is kind of CEO Mitt Romney come out, which is kind of his default position, say, you know, it looks pretty good, but, you know, there's problems. There could be problems, and we need to work on this. And people are like going, huh? And this unfortunately reinforces the kind of the Mitt Romney image of kind of aloof and not always kind of understanding the situation. Look, this is a wonderful time for Great Britain, and they are super excited about the Olympics, just like they were in Salt Lake. And they didn't need somebody coming in there and trying to criticize them. No matter even if they need it, that's not Mitt Romney's job at this point.
No, it wasn't Mitt Romney's job at that point. And who was it? I don't remember. Maybe it doesn't matter, Jeff. Remember on Friday we played some audio where somebody said all he had to do was just shut up. Just say nothing. And he couldn't do that.
Charles Crawford.
And he couldn't. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, there's some truth to that. We got terribly sad news coming out of the city of Detroit. This weekend, when the two bodies that were identified as 17 and 18-year-old young men from West Lynn were found right outside what was once City Airport. Reverend Jesse Jackson was in Detroit this weekend to speak on Detroit and gun violence, and this is what he had to say.
After the tragedy happening in Colorado and senseless murders all over the country, Reverend Jesse Jackson, the PUSH Coalition, Congressman Conyers, Detroit Police Chief Ralph Godby, and others announced today that they want to see Congress and the President ban assault rifles.
This is domestic homegrown terrorism.
Yes.
Whether it is in Seattle, Washington, whether it is in Aurora, Illinois, Aurora, Colorado, or Columbine, whether it is in Tucson, Arizona, we're talking about weapons that are made for war. A AK-47 is a Russian-made weapon that is made for war. AR-15, which is the answer to the AK-47, these high capacity, you can see shoot 50 to 60 rounds within a minute. Wow. And then within that minute, you can literally shoot through brick, shoot through steel.
Organizers are even planning a national march called the Crusade for America Parent and Youth March. They want to start a movement. Congressman Conyers plans to introduce legislation to ban assault rifles soon.
What we're doing here today is more than a press conference. It's a new beginning, and I congratulate all of you.
And the national march will take place on August 25th. It will start at the McGregor Library in Highland Park, and they'll march all the way to Ferndale. On Detroit's east side, Tara Edwards, 7 Action News.
Well, you know, of course, this is a little different situation than what happened to these two young men out of Westland, but gun violence in and of itself is something that deserves some more attention. I am, again, a big proponent of the Second Amendment. I do not believe we need semi-automatic weapons in people's hands for recreation reasons. Certainly a discussion worth having. Let's go to the phones and welcome Kevin in Melvindale to First Shift. Good morning to you, sir. What's on your mind?
Hey, Tony, I had a couple comments. One, I wanted to make a comment on Mitt Romney, and I also wanted to make a comment on the gun issue in this country. Sure. You know, the comment on Mitt Romney is, you know, it's simple. You know, I never thought I would say this, but he's potentially even more scarier than George Bush. Because this guy, he has no, you know, there's no way to tell where this guy stands. I mean, he's all over the place. But the one issue that we know is that he has no love for working class, middle class people. And this guy will lie and say anything to be elected. Now,
you know, in a way he reminds me of Rick Snyder.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, he does. He very much reminds me of Rick Snyder.
And the reality is, before I make a comment on the gun situation, is people got to get connected. People got to get out and vote. We can't take a day off. We got to get those that don't vote and that are not, you know, political geeks like me. You know, we got to get them connected. We got to get people to the polls. It's going to be a numbers game. It's going to come down just like it always has. And, you know, don't be fooled. Do not be fooled. They've done it before. Republicans say exactly what they want to say to get elected. When they get in there, they do nothing for you.
Well, I appreciate that. Appreciate the call. Appreciate the comment. More specifically, we saw, yeah, we got, okay. We saw this happen in 2010 here in the state of Michigan. Where Republicans said whatever they needed to say to get elected, and then once they were elected, did exactly the opposite of what they said they were going to do. And the number one issue was what? Jobs and the economy. They have done nothing. They have done nothing to create jobs or better the economy. In fact, any advancements in the economy that we've seen in the state of Michigan have been a result of what Barack Obama, Joe Biden, even Jennifer Granholm and John Kerry did. We can't give the Republicans any credit for the current state of the Michigan economy. Unfortunately, we can't. And although we do see unemployment slipping in the wrong direction again, some of that may be seasonal in nature. I'm not too awfully concerned about it because we're talking about, you know, a tenth of a percentage point in either direction. And so that's, I don't think that that's anything to get all wound up about. We want to see it going in the other direction, of course, and for just for obvious reasons, not non-political reasons. We need people to be working, and that's the bottom line. All right, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour. When we continue, I'm going to bring you some audio from this weekend. I met some folks that were here as vendors and wanted to share some of them with you. And then we will begin our list of guests as we work our way through the end of the AFT convention here at Cobo Hall in Detroit. So everybody's going to want to stay right where they are at. I am Tony Trupiano. We are live in Cobo Hall at the American Federation of Teachers National Convention. We'll take the break, and we will continue with First Shift right after we do this.
WDTW Continuous Traffic Watch.
So far, you got a quiet commute. Just got some road construction. It's going to have your two lanes closed on M59 eastbound between Van Dyke and Hayes. That's scheduled until 5 a.m. tomorrow morning. And also Coolidge at 696. The left lane is going to be closed on the ramp to 696 eastbound today, starting at 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. And that's for light inspection. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today, mostly sunny skies and a high of 87. Tonight, the clouds roll in, bringing a low of 71. Tomorrow, the storms come back with a high of 87. Right now, partly cloudy and 73. I'm Jeff, and that's your First Shift weather.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, Visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 right here on 1310WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit. NBC News is next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Barton Eckert. Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney says it would be foolish not to take Iran's leaders at their word when they threaten Israel. He says that preventing Iran from developing nuclear weapons programs has to be the highest national security priority. NBC's Peter Alexander is traveling with Romney.
With this visit, Mitt Romney is hoping to peel away some Jewish voters back home, voters who overwhelmingly supported Barack Obama 4 years ago. After a fundraiser here, he heads on the final leg of his tour when he will arrive in Poland.
A 19-year-old student at Kent State University is facing charges after he allegedly sent out a Twitter message saying he planned to shoot up the campus. Road warriors are dealing with higher prices at the pump. The latest Lumberg survey shows the national average price of self-serve regular was $3.51 a gallon on July 27th, up from $3.41 a gallon on June 13th. This is NBC News Radio. The Syrian government and rebels have issued conflicting claims in the battle over the country's largest city, Aleppo, with each side saying it holds a key neighborhood. NBC's Richard Engel reports from inside Syria.
From where I am in northern Syria, in areas that are controlled by the rebels, people here support the opposition. They support the rebels. People in this area just want to restore their dignity and bring freedom to this country.
There was only one clear exit for survivors of a train fire in southern India to rush to. At least 47 people have died. Another 28 are hospitalized with burns. The train was moving when the fire broke out in a passenger car. The suspect in the mass shooting at an Aurora, Colorado movie theater is due back in court this morning. 24-year-old James Holmes is expected to hear the official charges against him in connection with the deaths of 12 people attending a midnight showing of the new Batman movie July 20th. I'm Barton Eckert, NBC News Radio.
With an industry-leading distribution network, Grainger can save you tons of downtime by offering over 900,000 products, many ready to ship right when you need them. In fact, 99% of items ordered ship same day. So fast, the International Acronym Committee is considering changing ASAP to ASAG, or as soon as Grainger. At least they would be considering it if there were such a committee. To help keep your business running efficiently, call clickgrainger.com or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Newman, where's Shipley with my cost analysis?
She's homesick, Mr. Fernwell. I'll handle it.
Ooh.
Oh, no. Are you sick too, sir?
Newman, last time you did the cost analysis, it wasn't pretty. Call Bob from Accountemps.
Oh, I never get to do any of the important stuff.
Okay, you can do payroll.
Yes. What's that?
On second thought, Bob from Accountemps could handle payroll, too.
Bob.
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
The boss at Time Incorporated, whose magazines include Time, People, Sports Illustrated, Entertainment Weekly, is actively considering the next step in the industry's evolution. New York Times says Laura Lang and other execs at Time are making moves toward an eventuality of being digital only. Last week, reports said Newsweek magazine soon may go all digital as parent company IAC Interactive cuts its budget. Airfare tracker Fair Compare says that we usually see flight price relief late in the summer, and this year, no exception. We can expect to witness a 10 to 20% drop in fares affecting flights starting somewhere around the third week of August. We could use that break. The Transportation Department says fares are up 5% this time from last year, which were up 8% from the year before and another 8% from the year before that. Stock futures in the red, a little. S&P futures down 4, NASDAQ futures down 2, Dow futures down 25. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
I'm a mid-sized business.
One of the engines of a smarter planet.
I want to run my business in the cloud.
Who can I trust?
A bookstore?
A search site?
I need a partner with experience.
To manage my infrastructure.
And help keep my data secure.
Introducing IBM Smart Cloud, starting at $56 per month. Learn why IBM is the smarter choice for cloud at ibm.com/engines/cloud. Price subject to change.
Quietus contains homeopathic ingredients traditionally used to provide relief.
Can you hear that sound? That ringing, that hissing.
I can't get to sleep with it.
I can't concentrate. I hear it constantly.
It's tinnitus.
A constant ringing in your ear.
Ah, finally. Quietus.
I couldn't believe it. No more ringing in the ears. No more hissing sound.
Call right now for your risk-free trial of Quietus at 1-800-713-3982. 1-800-713-3982. 1-800-713-3982.
The Home Depot is rolling out a new way to do any paint project faster. New Behr Premium Plus Ultra with stain blocking, now just $31.98 a gallon. The number one paint and primer in one now has powerful new stain blocking for the toughest jobs and better adhesion on almost any surface. Time to roll with new improved Behr Ultra, the newest way to a faster paint project. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
Newman, where's Shipley with my cost analysis?
She's homesick, Mr. Fernwell. I'll handle it.
Ooh.
Oh, no, are you sick too, sir?
Newman, last time you did the cost analysis, it wasn't pretty. Call Bob from Account Temps.
Oh, I never get to do any of the important stuff.
Okay, you can do payroll.
Yes, what's that?
On second thought, Bob from Account Temps could handle payroll too.
Bob.
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half.
When they told you it was all about the kids, that teachers need to share in the sacrifice, that forcing big pay cuts and blaming our educators was the way to go, there was First Shift and Tony Trupiano standing up for what's right. With difference makers like David Hecker.
The debate is not really, should this be our position or that should be our position. A lot of times it's the details of that and what are we striving to achieve and what's the best strategy as outlined in the resolution.
Keith Johnson.
You had these three sessions with his representative who pretty much sat on the other side of the table and said, this is what we intend to do for you. And it had nothing to do with bargaining.
Charlie Parrish.
There's no accident that the way you select the indicators has a political overtone, and certainly it was the Republican side of the state that got the larger proportion.
And now it has come to this.
Live from downtown Detroit
at the American Federation of Teachers Michigan Convention, it's time to punch in for First Shift. Here's Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 7 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Monday morning. A pleasure to be with you. It is the 30th day of July 2012. We are live at Cobo Hall. We've got some callers left over from the last hour, so we want to get to them as they've been on hold for a while. And we're going to get right to that. We've got some audio to get to as well in this first half hour. And then our three guests, begin at 35 minutes after this hour. So let us turn our attention now to Phil in Ann Arbor. Phil, welcome to First Shift. What's on your mind this morning? Bill, I'm sorry. Bill, what's on your mind this morning?
Well, I'm a Vietnam veteran. I was in the Air Force. And just a couple of
comments. Thank you for your service.
Thank you. Concerning this assault weapons ban, you know, the whole point is there's never been an actual assault weapon. Now, I know the media tends to like to lump AK-47s and AR-15 as assault weapons, but the fact is I've actually seen through several government websites what they consider to be an assault weapon. And if you've got a second, I'll tell you what that was. According to them, it was any gun that carried more than five rounds, either in a cylinder or in a clip. Any gun that had a detachable clip, no matter how many rounds it carried. And, of course, an AR-15 carries usually a 20-round standard clip. In addition to that, any gun that had either other than a bolt or a single shot or a muzzle loader was considered an assault weapon. And I wondered at first why the five-round capability. A handgun could be considered an assault weapon by their very own descriptions. I mean, almost any gun, you know, you got a 22, those things have 20 round clips internally. I mean, the fact is that we don't need more gun control laws. We need to enforce the ones that are currently on the books. And you got to remember that, assuming that he had a fully automatic AK-47, those are are supposed to be impossible to get for civilian use. And I'll be the first one to tell you that an AR-15 and an AK-47 that's civilian authorized can only fire one round at a time. It's a semi-automatic, meaning that it does put a new round in the clip, but you have to release the trigger in order for that to happen. You can only fire one round at a time. Now I've actually fired an M16 almost as fast in semi-mode as an auto, but the thing is, you can only fire one round at a time. And most clips, I think the most you can get for an AR-15 is maybe 20 or 30 rounds. But like you say, most of the time, it's hard to get those extra clips except through certain websites, and then you got to be authorized to do that. So it
right.
kind of brings into challenge, how did this guy get that extra stuff, assuming it was a semi or a fully automatic?
And Phil, Bill, thank you for your call. I think that what we're going to find out when this is all said and done, and it's a long way from being said and done, there are lots of investigating. We do know that this gentleman, James Holmes, is not cooperating with police, or at least wasn't. We're not getting a lot of new information out of that. We need answers to all these questions. There was a hole somewhere, and something fell into that hole. And as a result of that, a lot of people died. Thank you for your call. I appreciate your passion and your knowledge, for that matter. My brother at the UFCW, Tom, is also on the phone. Tom, it's nice to hear from you this morning. What's on your mind?
Morning, Tony. I'd like to make a remark about the Republicans contributing to the economy. I believe they have contributed to the economy in a very negative way with all the massive cuts to teachers' salaries. The amounts they have to pay for their insurance now has severely limited their buying power and their ability to keep the economy going, not to mention the police and fire departments. So I believe the Republicans have been very detrimental to the economy and very good at keeping it down as not to make President Obama look like he's doing some good. That's pretty much what I have to say this morning, Tony. I think the teachers you're with will attest to what I'm saying.
No, there's no question, and Tom, thanks for your call. There's no question that what you say is true, and we, of course, chronicle this on the show way too often. And I say way too often, not because I don't want to do it, it's because I don't want to do it. You understand this distinction. Of course you do. It's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to have to spend so much time talking about these issues when they are so unnecessary. We talk about reforming education, and certainly that is a big part of the dialogue here over the last 4 or 5 or 6 days. You talk about reforming education. When's it going to be about what happens in the classroom? When is it going to be about how we better support teachers? When's it going to be about how education is about empowerment and about identifying the gifted, helping those that need help, reaching out? And we're going to meet somebody in the 8 o'clock hour. That began his career as a carpenter, went into education working with at-risk children, and is now the president of the largest teachers union in the country, in the UFT. Yeah, these are the kind of things that we need to be discussing. 888-552-3595. I don't know if we have, we don't have time for any of the audio, do we? I guess we could do. Do we? Do we have time for any of the ones that I did? No. Okay. Well, then let's quickly go to Joe Biden. We'll listen to a little of. He was, of course, here at Cobo yesterday. Spoke to the AFT and spoke about his wife Jill, who is a teacher. And this is what he had to say about let's just say her homework, which she takes with her everywhere.
Back with me to everywhere else around the world, and I finally only teachers will fully understand this. I tell her, Jill, please, don't walk off the plane with that god-awful big ugly bag with 300 papers in your bag walking off. Ask anybody, including the military aides, on every flight, it's papers, papers, every car, papers, papers, papers. She's wise enough. And who says you all don't work all the time? I can attest to the fact. It's not left in the classroom.
All right. Well, and that is funny, because anybody that knows a teacher knows that they are always carrying with them work, because there's always work to be done. He, of course, Joe Biden, that is, went on to talk about the difference between Biden, Obama, and the way they think about teachers, and Romney. And this is what he said about Mitt Romney.
Governor Romney's plan for public education is straightforward. He says, let the states use all the Title I dollars to boost enrollment in private schools and alternative schools. And basically the effect is to strip you of your voice. Unlike our Republican friends in this new Republican Party, we don't see you as the problem. We see you as the solution.
Yeah, and we do see them as the solution. And there is a huge, huge difference. By the way, Vice President Biden was warmly received by the those in attendance yesterday, and it looked like an amazing rally for Obama, Biden, and that campaign, no question about it. Very quickly, only 29 seconds long, let's go to the very beginning where Vice President Biden said hello to the AFT. This is how he began his speech.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Joe Biden, and I'm in love with the teacher. Welcome to Detroit. As a famous American said, it's only halftime in America. And Detroit is going to lead us back.
Well, we certainly hope that's true. Jeff and I were talking in the last hour, and let me just briefly go back to that conversation, Jeff, where I ran into a bunch of people. As I was talking to them on Saturday, they were saying that Detroit seemed quiet, desolate in some level, not necessarily ugly, unattractive, just not a bustling major metropolis, which of course it is. We stop and think about all of the businesses that are headquartered here, all of the commerce that happens here, how important Detroit, literally the city of Detroit, is to so many industries. And to have it perceived as being something that's less than is troubling. I hope that that it will find a way to turn things around. These are problems that money solves, but this just isn't about money anymore. It's not. That's about so many other things as well. We'll keep a good thought, right? Absolutely. I've enjoyed being down here the last few days. I don't get down here often enough, and so it's been great to get down here the last few days. We're going to take a quick break here. When we get back, we're going to talk to or listen to a couple people that I interviewed on Saturday as I was working my way through the convention floor. And we'll bring those to you. And then at the bottom of the hour, Patrick Roach will join us, Dr. Patrick Roach from the UK. So plenty to get to as we work our way through this last day at the American Federation of Teachers National Convention. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift. We'll take the break and be right back.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
Governor Romney took a leave of absence from his company to go save the Olympics. And he ended up not going back at all and retired retroactively to February of 1999.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Just picked up some slow traffic over on 275 northbound between Ford Road and Ann Arbor Road. And we got that road construction that will have two lanes closed on M59 eastbound between Van Dyke and Hayes, and starting at 11 a.m. and going until 3. They're going to do a light inspection. Coolidge Highway at 696. That left lane is going to be closed on that ramp to 696 eastbound. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today, mostly sunny skies and a high of 87. Tonight, the clouds roll in, bringing a low of 71. Tomorrow, the storms come back with a high of 87. Right now, partly cloudy and 73. I'm Jeff, and that's your First Shift weather.
This is U.S. Congressman Gary Peters, and I'm running for re-election in the 14th District. Other communities in this new district, like Pontiac, Southfield, and Oak Park, already know my passion for serving. They know my track record of getting things done, like helping President Obama pass the health care bill and save the auto industry. They know that I also helped create nearly 3,500 jobs in our area. And while I may not be from Detroit, the fights I've led in Congress have benefited struggling families across this city. That's why this message is for you, Detroit. I firmly believe that our region will never be successful without a vibrant city of Detroit. If you vote for me, I commit to you that no other candidate will ever outwork me and that no other community will ever outweigh you. I'm asking for the honor of serving you in the new 14th Congressional District, and more importantly, I'm asking for your vote. I'm Gary Peters, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Peters for Congress.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
This is D. Alexander Bullock. Join me and Tony Trippiano on August 25th at 12 noon for the Crusade for America Parent and Youth March. We march for an urban policy. We march for a war on poverty. We march to save democracy. We march to stop gun violence. Get active, get engaged, and get involved. For more information, like us on Facebook at Rainbow Push Detroit and follow us on Twitter at Rainbow Push MI.
Recently on First Shift,
a video that current state representative Lesia List has produced. There's this off-camera voice that asks question as she's slicing lunch meat. It was really poorly done. The production value is awful. I mean, just awful.
Oh, my goodness. That is just below.
Well, you know, Dawn Kettinger from the Michigan Nurses Association made a great point. Almost 1,000 people have watched that video. Do you think that they're watching it because they support Lesia List?
That's just
First Shift with Tony Triano on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Triano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Triano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Triano on Twitter.
Welcome back to First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now,
live from the American Federation of Teachers Convention in downtown Detroit,
here's Tony Triano.
Welcome back. I am Tony Triano, live at Cobo Hall. We are here the remainder of the day, and the remainder of our broadcast day, nonetheless. And anyway, I had a chance on Saturday to visit with some of the folks that were displaying their wares, some of it much more educational than others, but it was all quite interesting, I assure you. One of the people I met was John McDonald with Haymarket Books, and let's listen to that interview.
Tell us about Haymarket Books and what the purpose of them is.
Haymarket Books is an independent publishing company, and our whole idea is trying to connect titles with activists and other people interested in social justice. So we put out books on a whole number of topics that will help with that. So we take our inspiration from the Haymarket Martyrs, labor radicals who help win their 8-hour day, standing up for what should be our, you know, labor rights.
Now, are you a traditional publisher where you take manuscripts and then publish books and bring them to market, or do you take stuff that's previously been published, or do you do a combination of all of the above?
Yeah, it's both of those things, because there's a lot of really excellent work being done in terms of activists who are trying to get their stories out, and we just published this book, Occupying Wall Street, which is an example of people who are involved in that struggle trying to get their story told. So we put that out. And then in addition, there's just dozens and dozens of really important books which have gone out of print. So we want to put those out there as well. So rank and file oral histories by Salton and Alice Lynn, you know, talking to labor militants throughout the 20th century about their struggles. Also one that we just did, and that's a reprint. So we need both of those things.
You know, I would think, and here you're at the American Federation of Teachers Conference, and you're probably, not that there aren't serious activists here, but I would think that there are other conventions where there would be people that are more into you in what you do. With that said, do you find that even something that might be considered a little more conservative, like the AFT conferences, are more open to what it is that you're doing?
I guess the way that I answer that is that the labor movement is a really important part of what we want to be able to contribute to, and it's a vestige of power that activists have built up that, you know, can actually challenge the status quo and fight for social justice in one way or another. So that's one aspect of it. And then the other aspect is, I think, with the economic crisis and the general political situation that we see around the world, with revolutions breaking out all over the place, more and more people in the U.S., even folks you might describe as more conservative or what have you, are open to the kind of ideas that we're putting out there. So both those things are true. The labor movement is quite important, and I think will continue to be. And more people are looking for explanations for what's going wrong and how we can, you know, fight against the injustices that we're seeing all around them.
Well, you know, up until very recently, we did an Occupy segment on my show every single day. We did it for 6, 7, 8 months, whatever it was, and we did it for quite a long time. And in fact, I bought a couple books here, and one of them is on the Occupy movement. I would think that would be a pretty popular book about now. A lot of people think that the Occupy movement is kind of slowly fading away, and of course, you and I both know that's not true.
Sure. So the book, you know, the book we, like, crashed it out, like, got it, it's all writers who were involved in the encampment at Zuccotti Park, so that it tells the story up through November, basically. So putting it out has been a really important thing. We found a number of folks who were interested in it, and we're just starting to get it out there. So, yeah, I mean, it's not our most popular book, but it's an important one. And as far as the movement and where it's at, I think that the most important thing is, while the encampments have been wrapped up, and it's not clear whether they'll be back, the movement represents much more than that. It's a sort of understanding of, you know, the inequality in our society that's gotten worse and worse, and the people who have been activated to fight back around it haven't disappeared. They've gotten involved in other campaigns, or they're going to, you know, they're committed to trying to change things and pursuing other strategies for now, but I don't think it's gone.
All right, well, we're on radio, so people can't see. You're a young guy. What is it about this publisher, these topics, that were attractive to you?
Well, you know, when I was in high school was when the Iraq War started, and so that was a major politicizing event in my life. And so getting involved with the struggle against that war and recognizing the fact that it didn't represent any of the interests that I didn't represent anything that I was supportive of. Why were we doing it except for the pursuit of profit and plunder, more or less? So that was a starting point for trying to take very seriously the notion that there are terrible things happening in the world and we can do something about them, but you can't do it without being informed. So the books are a way of, it's a contribution to being able to better understand the world so as to be able to fight to change it.
Tell us a little bit about, hey, Mark, where can we find the books? Are they in traditional bookstores? Do you have a website? I mean, might as well try to sell some books here today.
So our website's the best place to buy them because we're an independent publisher, and that means that if you buy them from our website, we get all the money, and it goes back into being able to publish more books. If you support the cause, then that's the best place. So you can get them there. They're also available in many bookstores.
Your website address is?
It's haymarketbooks.org.
All right. We want to make sure we you know, point people in the right direction. Well, this is all very exciting, and I'm looking forward to reading. I think I bought 3 or 4 books, and looking forward to reading those. And maybe we'll have some of your authors on. You're also nice enough to, you had a catalog here. Can people get a catalog right on the website or something they can download from the website?
Yeah, our entire catalog is listed. You can download it on the website and also on our scripts page.
All right, thank you so much, and good luck here in Detroit.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, and that one again was John McDonald. Nice guy, young guy. I mean, you know, I love these young activist types, and he fits that mold. I did buy 4 books. I, in fact, started one of them yesterday because I finished the book I was reading a little earlier in the day, and so I picked up one of them about labor history. But if you go to haymarketbooks.com, was it .net? Well, whatever. If you go there, you're going to find that, and I'll make sure I bring in the catalog into the studio with me tomorrow because I do have it in my office. I think you're going to find, as I did, that there is just so much good stuff out there that is not going to be part of the mainstream book-selling public, unfortunately. If you go right to their website, which of course you're going to do, and I'll get it put up on the Facebook page when I get back to the office today. What you're going to find is that There's all kinds of educational materials you didn't know that was available. As I'm sitting here, to my left is the labor history wall that is in a little bit of disarray as I speak because they're taking it down to bring it back to their offices. But there's an entire labor history that we do a really bad job of dialoguing about. We certainly don't teach labor history in school any longer. And I, you know, even the unions, and I've talked to many of them. In fact, Kevin Moore and I have talked about this on the show. The unions should do a better job at teaching labor history. Now, some of them do a much better job of it than others do. Now, I'm not talking about their union history. I'm talking about the history of organized labor because it's critical to understanding, you know, like everything else. And you don't understand where you're at if you don't understand where you came from. And I know that makes sense to a lot of you. A very quick break here. When we come back, Dr. Patrick Roach will join us. Dr. Roach is from the United Kingdom. He is the Deputy General Secretary of one of their largest teachers unions in the UK. And we will visit with him and find out how things are, as they say, on the other side of the pond. I really should have avoided that cliche, but I didn't. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll take a break as we're here at Cobo Hall at the AFT National Convention. Stay where you're at. Some great stuff coming your way right after we take this break.
WDTW Continuous Traffic Watch.
Just picked up some slow traffic over on 275 northbound between Ford Road and Ann Arbor Road. And we got that road construction. They have two lanes closed on M59 eastbound between Van Dyke and Hayes and starting at 11 a.m. and going until 3. They're going to do a light inspection. Coolidge Highway at 696. That left lane is going to be closed on that ramp to 696 eastbound. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today, mostly sunny skies and a high of 87. Tonight, the clouds roll in, bringing a low of 71. Tomorrow, the storms come back with a high of 87. Right now, partly cloudy and 73. I'm Jeff, and that's your first shift weather.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. A new book by Cornell Law School professor Lynn Stout called The Shareholder Value Myth, How Putting Shareholders First Harms Investors, Corporations, and the Public, explores the concept of shareholder value and how it endangers not only investors, but also anyone involved in the economy. Stout laid out that one of the many issues involved in the idea of shareholder primacy was a change in the tax code in 1993.
We also changed the tax code in 1993 to require companies to tie executive pay to an objective performance metric. The favorite metric was share price, and boy, that did as much as anything to make executives pay attention to shareholder value more than anything else, including employee security, customer satisfaction, or even the company's own long-term future.
In her book, Stout lays out how the focus on increasing shareholder value contributed to the BP Gulf Coast disaster.
Unfortunately, it's not just a disaster for BP's shareholders. It was also a disaster for their bondholders, their employees, other people who worked in the Gulf, fishermen, the tourist industry, and the ecosystem itself.
Studies have suggested that if a corporation is a person, that person would likely be considered a psychopath. Stout explained that's partially to do with shareholders who act in a psychopathic manner.
Public corporations do some of these psychopathic things is because they're responding to psychopathic investor pressure. There's some very interesting data that actually suggests that so-called private companies that have controlling shareholders may be more socially responsible and take better care of their employees. And the reason is they're not subject to these pressures, especially the pressures from the short-term hedge funds.
Stout doesn't simply criticize shareholder primacy in her book, but also offers potential solutions to the problem. One solution is a tax on stocks.
If we put in place a stock trading tax, that would slow down some of that frantic short-term trading and give corporate managers and executives more leisure to think for the future. Another thing that would really be worth doing would be, frankly, to undo some of these changes that were made in the name of so-called shareholder democracy. The reality is that the only shareholders who really try and exercise influence under these rules are the hedge funds, because they're very undiversified. They only own stock in two or three companies, and they have very big positions. But your average individual investor who owns stock in several companies, or who owns stock through a mutual fund that may own 100 companies, they're not going to get involved in what's going on at any particular corporation day to day. They don't have time. They're too diversified. So the irony is, when we talk about shareholder power, we're really talking about hedge fund power. And we would do well to reduce hedge fund power.
For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
No show in Michigan covers education,
teachers,
and the people who fight for their well-being like First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now,
live from the American Federation of Teachers Convention in downtown Detroit,
here's Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. We are back, and joining me now is Dr. Patrick Roach. Dr. Roach is the Deputy General Secretary of NASUWT, and we're going to find out from him exactly what that stands for, because I wasn't smart enough when I Googled it to figure that out for myself. He is part of the largest teachers union in the UK, representing classroom teachers and school and college leaders. The union is a politically independent entity and aims to serve the best interest of teachers and the education system, regardless of which party forms the government, which I would think has presented some challenge over the years. Since 2010, you've been in this leadership position. I want to welcome you to the U.S. and welcome you to the show today.
Thanks very much, Tony. It's great to be here.
I appreciate you. I appreciate you taking the time to join us. Let's talk about the difference, perhaps, in the perception of our school systems. I'm not so sure that there are a lot of differences. I know that you have public schools, you have private academies, and you have what we consider charter schools, companies that that own schools for profit. So I don't know that there is a big difference between your country and ours, is there?
I think you're right, Tony. I think we are two countries separated by a common language, if you like. Actually, our education systems are very, very similar in many respects. Public education, private education, and
how it all fits together.
Now, that work ethic's critical. It's fascinating to learn, as I was learning more about you, that you've spent a lot of time with at-risk children.
Yeah.
Especially at the high school level, which is, I would think, the most difficult of all of the different areas of education that you can be involved in. But this was a choice for you.
Because of my own upbringing and my own difficulties in school, I gravitated towards the at-risk children, and when I first became a teacher, I was working just strictly in a special education setting. And then when I moved over to become a full-time teacher, I went to a high school in Brooklyn called William Grady High School, and I helped develop and run an at-risk program for at-risk teens, and it's fantastic. It was so rewarding, and, you know, look, at-risk children in high school, for whatever reason, how they got there, that's, you know, you have to deal with that. But if we don't get that straight, then I know, and they know, where their life's probably going. So this is before they get into the juvenile justice system. This is before they become a dropout. And it's extremely rewarding. It's difficult work, and it's tough work. It's complex. All of the different obstacles that the children bring, you couldn't even imagine them. But it's important work, and any of the teachers who do that work, I give my hats always off to them.
I have to tell you, one of the and there are many things that I find empowering about you, Michael Mulgrew, and I mean many things, and we're going to try to get as much of them in today as we can. But in order for you to end up where you're at right now, as president of what most would consider the most powerful teachers union in the country, means that not only on top of doing the work you were doing in the classroom, you were dedicating a lot of time as a father outside the classroom, but more importantly, and I shouldn't say more importantly because I don't know that there is a more important job than that being a parent, but your advocacy work outside of the classroom allows you to ascend to this presidency. And how you do all this is beyond my comprehension. How do you accomplish so much in such a short period of time? You haven't been in education 40 years. I mean, this is an extraordinary ascension to this presidency.
You see a need. You see people. You see a need both for a profession and for communities. And it's just my nature. It's the way I grew up. I mean, I don't think it's my mother raised us all. There was never a teacher in the family, and now there's three teachers and a child advocate lawyer. So it was instilled in us at a young age to always help. And you just see needs, and you say, all right, talk to people. Let's figure out what we can do working together. And then once you're getting involved with schools, to me it was people say, here's a school, it's a building, and they talk about assessments and test scores. I look at a school, and I see a community. There's a community there. And every school is unique. Every community has, strengths and weaknesses. And people want things to get better. That's it. That's the nature of everyone. They want things to be better. And talking with people, working with people, figuring out how to make those things happen, whatever it is that each school community needs, that's what I believe in. And that's what so many teachers believe in. And we're proud that that's the work our union truly focuses on, is making sure and building school communities at that grassroots level and making a difference. It's not like, oh, we're teachers, we need help. Well, of course we need help, but it's like, we're a community. What can we do to help you?
Yeah, but here's what I find, Michael, remarkable about your journey. This isn't about the next rung on the ladder for you, whatever that might be. This is about building a team of people and then empowering them for the best possible outcome for those people that you're responsible for, period. I've done enough reading. I've done some homework. You don't care. If the job needs to get done, if you can't do it, then you find someone that can. You charge them with that responsibility. You give them a deadline, and damn it, they better do it.
Yeah, that's basically it. You got it.
What people aren't seeing is he is sitting here looking at me like, well, of course that's the way. It's not that way for everybody, and you know that.
I do. I know the frustrations. I am lucky enough to have a great team around me at my union. But I also, when I first became president, people would go in and talk about, and right away it's, I have an issue with this, I have an issue with this. And I said, well, the common language of all teachers and anyone who's involved with education is they got into a profession to make things better for children. So once you get back to that language, you can deal with all of the issues, the noise issues that you always hear about all over the press and the rhetoric. But teachers and people who work in schools want to make a difference. They know they're not going to be rich. Do they want to be able to take care of their families? Yes. They know they're not going to be rich, but they inherently want to make things better. So that's what you do. You start with that as the basis, as the foundation. That's what we all have in common more than anything else. So let's use that as our strength. We'll deal with the other issues. We can fight with people. We can advocate. We can, do all of the things that you think of a traditional labor union. But more importantly, if we focus on what we know is the base that we all have in common, trying to make things better, then we can get things done. And that's how I, with the help of a great staff, that's how we run our union. And we do it that way. We're like, this is the deadline. We're moving. We got to get this done. Because if we don't get it done by this point in time, there'll be a lot of disappointed people. People might suffer because of it in all sorts of different ways. And once you work in a small community of school and they know you're doing a project of some sort, the hope that you see in them, all of a sudden, they come back to life, that there's hope and things could get better. You can't let that be distinguished. You can't let that be extinguished. I'm sorry. You can't let that be extinguished. As a teacher, when you see the child all of a sudden gets it and starts moving forward, to see them slip back and to see the despair, it's crippling for you as a teacher because it's so it just gets you in your soul. So you can't. When you're working with a community and all of a sudden they've given you faith and they start having hope and they're working hard, you got to get it done. You have to get it done.
Before we have to get to the break here in just a second. Before we do that, though, I can't imagine with the massive amount of territory you have to cover, how I realize you've got an amazing staff, and I realize that you don't do this alone. I do get that.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, prioritizing, because you have done some remarkable things. When we come back, we're going to talk. A lot of people consider you a visionary. I'm going to get your definition of what you think that means on the other side of the break. But before we get there, before we get to the break, how do you prioritize? How do you decide this is the fire that gets put out today? Because I can't imagine that there's ever a lack of fires.
It's every day. It's what are the issues? And then you just use your judgment. If it's a safety, health type issue, that would go to the top of the ladder. If it's a legal issue, you know, it's just more about making sure you get the, you know, talking to certain, you know, the lawyers and this, that would probably slip down unless they're going. You just use your judgment. And it's taken, it took a little bit when I first became president to figure that part out correctly. Because it's not just we're a labor union. The amount of issues that come up are off the chart, because you're also so concerned about it. We have 1,700 schools that we have members in. We have hospitals that we have nurses in, clinicians all over the city. So it really comes down to just you know, just judge. It's like a teacher. As a teacher, you make 1,000 decisions a day and you don't even know it.
All right, we need to take a quick break. My guest again is Michael Mulgrew. He is the president of the United Federation of Teachers, the UFT, out of New York. Stay with us. We've got a lot to get to, including another guest at the bottom of the hour, Judy Hale. So stay where you're at. Lots to get to. I'm Tony Truppiano. First Shift continues right after this break.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Richard, good morning to you. How you doing today?
Great, Tony. Wow, wonderful show, man. Since you've been on, it's been a breath of fresh air, I got to tell you.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
As we head into your rush hour traffic, we got our first accident of the morning. It's blocking your left shoulder over on 75 southbound at 12 Mile. And then we got some slow traffic on 696 westbound between Bequinder and 75. Slow go on 75 northbound between Rosa Parks Boulevard and the Lodge. And it's busy on 94 westbound between Cadieux and Van Dyke. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today, mostly sunny skies and a high of 87. Tonight, the clouds roll in, bringing a low of 71. Tomorrow, the storms come back with a high of 87. Right now, partly cloudy and 73. I'm Jeff, and that's your First Shift weather.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle.
UnionCircle.com.
This is D. Alexander Bullock. Join me and Tony Trippiano on August 25th at 12 noon for the Crusade for America Parent and Youth March. We march for an urban policy. We march for a war on poverty. We march to save democracy. We march to stop gun violence. Get active, get engaged, and get involved. For more information, like us on Facebook at Rainbow Push Detroit and follow us on Twitter at Rainbow Push MI.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have that peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
No show in Michigan covers education, teachers, and the people who fight for their well-being like First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now,
live from the American Federation of Teachers Convention in downtown Detroit,
here's Tony Trupiano.
And I do it all the time. And welcome back. Michael Mulgrew is my guest. He is the president of the United Federation of Teachers. A lot of people talk about you as a visionary. What does that mean to you? I don't mean personally mean to you. How do you feel that defines you? Why are you having such a hard time with all this positive stuff? I can be mean to you if you want me to.
Well, it's my Irish upbringing. We don't do well with compliments. You know, I'm still somebody who, you know, it's a running joke at the union. Like, Mogul would rather sit around in his flip-flops than with his neighbors in his backyard having a beer than running around in his suit. Education has to change. And the sad part is that they've made this a fight about teachers versus real education. They've tried to distort really what needs to be done. We are going, the world is changing, and we need to do things differently. And to me, the fight is, what is education going to look like in 10 years and 20 years? And I say this often. I say, if the people who don't like the teachers union win, 20 years from now, we'll be saying, in the United States, we have to change everything about education because we failed our children, because we will not be preparing them properly. We'll be preparing them. We'll be filling buckets is how we like to describe it. You can fill a bucket. That does not light a fire. You fill a bucket is just test prep and telling children, you know, drill and kill on without a real curriculum. Those are the things that we fight so vehemently, and people, you know, the people who hate us start with that we don't like accountability. Stand in front of a classroom every day with 30 kids inside of it. Believe me, they hold you accountable. So in terms of visionary, it's education needs to be, it needs to go back to, first, it is a community, and everybody in the community is responsible. What we're doing right now, we have just put up a lot of our own members' money. We're doing pilot programs in New York City where we're bringing together community-based organizations, healthcare providers, hospitals, and we're bringing services into schools and integrating in a way that has never been done before. You know that schools is what's known as community schools, but it was never fully integrated into the school day, where if the child needs to go to a clinic, they go, you know, there's someone at the school who knows what class the child's in, they get them to the clinic. If a child needs, mental health services, we can do this in a lunchroom or a playground. You don't have to put them behind a door. You know, really move, and that's part of the basis of building the support. But education itself, it's technology, we need to do what, I hate to get technical, but it's what applied learning. Children work with their hands. Children have to do, you know, real thought, rational reasoning skills have to be taught, not just teach them how to take a test.
Michael, I've got it very, very quickly here. You know, if it weren't for, I played football in high school, mm-hmm. but that's not why I stayed. I stayed because of choir and drama. Those were my loves. They don't have choir and drama. God forbid we get rid of football, but we don't have choir and drama in a lot of schools in Michigan any longer.
In New York also.
All right, so when you're taking away, you talk about applied, when you're taking away those things that allow us, art class, ceramics, you know, ceramics actually does have a place in the school.
And taking ceramics, and working with the academic teachers, with the art teacher, and bringing it and contextualizing both subjects back and forth across leads to a much deeper learning experience for the child. And they will own that learning versus the way they want us to teach right now, which is they don't. It's not acquired knowledge that they will take the rest of their life. So that's the big fight that we have. And all the rest of it, any of the things they like to bring up, those are distractions because they just don't want. They want what they think is right. And the other piece is the privatization piece, and that's the big fight in terms of there are a lot of people in New York City, we're the largest school system in the country, but there we have people, charter schools is a big issue, but there are people who run charter schools who used to be teachers just trying to run a school. Then there's people running charter schools trying to make money.
Yeah, and there are a lot of those. Listen, I don't mean to rush you, but I do want to talk about Share My Lesson. I know that this is something you're particularly passionate about. We've actually covered it quite a bit here, but I don't think we can talk about it enough. A lot of my listeners are teachers. They're in love with this. A lot of my non-teacher listeners are jealous because they can't get real access to it, but that's okay. It's better to be jealous of something good than something bad. This is something good. Your experience with this, and why are you so passionate about it?
What I was just talking about is, what are we teaching children? So they hand us test prep, and they said, draw goals based on a child's skill set inside of this type of test. Where's the curriculum? Where's the lessons? Where's the things that actually make a difference? So Share My Lesson is this amazing project that the AFT started with a group from England. When we first got word of it, I actually said, you know what? I jumped on a plane, went over to England, met with the folks over there. It was, they just did it as, they said, there was a group of teachers who said, you know, we would really like to be able to talk to other teachers to see what they're doing. And they just set it up. They didn't think it was going to become what it did. And then there you go, 8 years later, there's 2 million teachers from around the globe sharing lessons, sharing all sorts of artifacts, things to use inside of a classroom. There's videos in there. There's an amazing video about a teacher who was only had only taught his entire career in advanced students, who took on an at-risk group, and he videotaped it and told a story. I mean, it's just so rich, full of things
for
teachers.
It's powerful.
It's very powerful. And when I was over there, I said, all right, and let me give three. I took 3 hours, and I was able to come up with an entire high school English curriculum for a semester. I had lesson plans for every day, all the different artifacts, different things to use if I wanted to change midstream, and it was all there, sitting there. And I could communicate with other teachers. So that's why we completely got on board with this. We've had a group of about 40 teachers in New York City. There were 5 point people who have been working back and forth with the folks in England before we launched this, trying to, clear up a lot of the, as you could imagine, the vernacular changes from different parts of the country. So, and we just are so excited about it because here's the first thing we have ever seen we haven't seen in a long time, where teachers are actually going to get the material that they need that will actually help children, and it'll help teachers.
One of the teachers that listens to the show on a regular basis sent me an email over the weekend and said that Share My Lesson is an entirely different paradigm in the way we will experience education moving forward. Do you agree with that?
Yes, because this is, you're seeing teachers on their own. This is just teachers working together on their own and pushing the boundaries, experimenting, pushing it out to different places, instead of one person having to figure out, because teaching is a very isolated experience, and this is bringing teachers together. So you have one person sharing other things, sharing things with somebody else, so they're, it then expands and it compounds the way they can experiment and move forward, instead of it just happening in isolation, and it does push the boundaries much further and faster.
State of New York's lucky to have you.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're out of time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Detroit. It's been a great convention, and you guys have been a great host.
Appreciate it so much. Michael Mulgrew, United Federation of Teachers. We have to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to wrap up our visit here at the convention with Judy Hill from the West Virginia American Federation of Teachers. Everybody stay where they're at. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll wrap it up on the other side.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
As your rush hour commute picks up, we got some more problems out there. Still got that accident that's blocking the left shoulder on 75 southbound at 12 Mile Road. Got another accident that's blocking the right shoulder on 96 eastbound just as you're approaching the Livernois Grand River exit. And also on 94 westbound at US 23, a disabled vehicle is partially blocking the right lane of the ramp to US 23 southbound. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Drive through your local McDonald's and try the new Blueberry Pomegranate Smoothie. This healthy McCafe beverage is made with ripe blueberries, pomegranate juice, and creamy low-fat yogurt, and is only available for a limited time. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today, mostly sunny skies and a high of 87. Tonight, the clouds roll in, bringing a low of 71. Tomorrow, the storms come back with a high of 87. Right now, partly cloudy and 73. I'm Jeff, and that's your first shift weather.
I, for one, am tired of hearing complaints that our giant bailed-out banks have simply taken the money and run, giving nothing back to society. That's why I'm so pleased that a new economic analysis from English tax experts has put the lie to this canard. Their study reveals that Barclays, Citibank, Goldman Sachs, HSBC, JP Morgan Chase, and other rescued giants have, in fact, been phenomenally helpful to many people in deep need. In particular, during 2010 alone, such bankers helped people move at least $21 trillion in wealth from the U.S. and other nations into tax havens like the Cayman Islands. Yes, these compassionate bankers created a handy financial channel so folks like us can dodge our tax bills. What? You say you don't have an offshore bank account and that this is just another scam for the super rich? Well, now that's your problem. It's not the banker's fault that you lack the wealth to qualify for their benevolent assistance. Good grief. The malevolence of these bankers is unfathomable. First, their greed destroyed the jobs and middle-class dreams of millions of workaday people. Then, we had to bail them out, while we were forced to take more cuts in wages, thus plunging millions into poverty. And they repay us how? By foreclosing on our homes, secretly jacking up our interest rates, laundering money for terrorists, and helping the shameless uber-wealthy hide trillions of dollars in the black holes of offshore accounts to escape paying the taxes they owe to America. Money desperately needed to rebuild the middle class. This is Jim Hightower saying, these soulless scoundrels would steal the nickels off a dead man's eyes, and their avaricious abuse is pushing people to the point of parading guillotines down Wall Street. To see the full report on their tax-dodging scam, go to taxjustice.net, taxjustice.net. Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
This is U.S. Congressman Gary Peters, and I'm running for re-election in the 14th District. Other communities in this new district, like Pontiac, Southfield, and Oak Park, already know my passion for serving. They know my track record of getting things done, like helping President Obama pass the health care bill and save the auto industry. They know that I also helped create nearly 3,500 jobs in our area. And while I may not be from Detroit, the fights I've led in Congress have benefited struggling families across the city. That's why this message is for you, Detroit. I firmly believe that our region will never be successful without a vibrant city of Detroit. If you vote for me, I commit to you that no other candidate will ever outwork me and that no other community will ever outweigh you. I'm asking for the honor of serving you in the new 14th Congressional District, and more importantly, I'm asking for your vote. I'm Gary Peters, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Peters for Congress.
Welcome back to First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now,
live from the American Federation of Teachers Convention in downtown Detroit,
here's Tony Truffiano.
And welcome back. I am Tony Truffiano. Pleasure to be with you. We are at the American Federation of Teachers National Conference in Cobo Hall in Detroit. And we do have one more guest as we get ready to wrap our involvement up here. And actually, we're going to have more stuff to bring to you tomorrow. We didn't get to all of our audio today. So we'll certainly get to that tomorrow because there are some people I want you to meet that we're just not going to be able to get to. I recorded some interviews over the weekend. Joining us now is Judy Hell. Judy is the president of the American Federation of Teachers of West Virginia and has been since 1991, which means she was 14 when she took over the presidency. You don't look like you could have been the president that long. I'm sorry, it's just true. She spent 22 years in the classroom. She's here to talk to us about an amazing story. This is a journey, actually, and so I'm really excited to welcome Judy Hale to First Shift today. Judy, thanks so much for joining us today. Hope you're enjoying Michigan.
I'm having a wonderful time. Thank you, Tony, for having me.
It is my pleasure. You got good weather. We certainly gave you some good weather this week.
It has been fabulous. Well, we've enjoyed it.
Well, good. Let's talk about it. And David Hecker, when he sent me a note yesterday and said, your last guest of the day is going to be probably the best guest I give you, because she's going to tell a pretty amazing story. So let's just get to that story, because I think it's important. Not that people are going to understand the geography, but we're going to give them a little background here, but certainly they're going to appreciate the bigger picture. What am I talking about?
Okay, we're talking about a private-public partnership that, that we have put together with AFTS as the main leader in West Virginia for one of our 55 county school systems. It's McDowell County. We call it Reconnecting McDowell. It is the southernmost county in the state, in the coal fields, and it has some devastating problems in the county due to basically a loss of the economy, a loss of coal jobs over the last couple of decades. And the county has been under state, the school system has been under state control for the last 10 years, and basically, you know, while the state board has tried to do things, make improvements, there has been little improvement because the county is rampant with a lot of other problems that cannot be handled in the classroom. It is very isolated. There's not a four-lane highway in the county. There are only two places where you can get cell service. There's not enough bandwidth to run programs in the high schools in order to do classes.
And right now people are going, in America?
Yes, yes, in America. We have almost half the students not living with a biological parent. There's a rampant drug problem. They have more overdoses per capita than any place in the country. It is the poorest county in the eighth poorest county in the entire country. So there are just tremendous, tremendous challenges to be faced. And so over a year ago, Gail Manchin, who is our former First Lady, she is now Vice President of the State Board of Education, as well as President-elect of the National State School Boards Association, and coincidentally married to U.S. Senator Joe Manchin from West Virginia, she approached AFT and she said, look, we as the state board have been in McDowell County for 10 years. We have not seen the kind of improvement that we need to see. Will you, AFT, help us? And so we took the issue to Randy Weingarten, their national president, and we spent a lot of time assessing the situation.
Let me interrupt you for just a second, because a couple comments I want to make. First of all, I can't even imagine when you end up saying yes to something like this, the process, and we're going to talk about process here in just a moment, that you go through. But this sounds to me like one of those communities where you can say, well, if you think you got it bad, I got a place to tell you about. Because that's what it sounds like this place is. I don't know that it gets a whole lot worse than this, does it?
Well, you know, there are lots of programs out there for urban areas like Detroit. There's been a lot of federal money that's been devoted to try to help urban areas which are in need. But there haven't been very many programs for rural areas. What we hope to do is create a model. A model that can be used not just in rural West Virginia, but across the country in rural areas to turn around a school system. then, you know, as we did our assessments, Tony, we found out that you can't just do it by working with the school system.
Let me assessment. How do you start? I said we're going to talk. So how do you start? I mean, okay. So you go to Randy, and I know exactly what Randy said. Do what you need to do, and I will support you. I know that's exactly what she said. Where do you begin something like this, Judy? Because this is almost a full time job.
It is a full time job, and we've hired several people to work this job because it is overwhelming. It has consumed. We have a national person who's working this job almost full time. We have a state project director who works for AFT, who was working full time in West Virginia on this, as well as a couple of other people that we have on the ground in McDowell who are working full time. So AFT has put a lot of resources behind this already. But how we started was to do an assessment. We had to know, because this was going to be a tremendous commitment on the part of the state Fed as well as national AFT. And so we assessed all of the schools. We assessed the county. We hired somebody to do additional assessments on the transportation, on the technology, on the help, on all of the things that affect kids in the classroom.
You need an infrastructure.
Exactly. And that's what basically we're trying to do. We've set up six subcommittees that are working, and you know, the governor has been wonderful. We have got both our U.S. senators Rockefeller and Manchin on board, as well as the congressman Ray Hall from that area, as well as the governor and legislators. And so that part, those people are all on board. We have the state education department. We have Arnie Duncan, who's coming next month. We have, as well as Alpha Coal, which is one of the biggest coal companies there is. We have the Benenum Foundation, who put in $100,000 initially just to give us a six-month planning grant. And AFT put in $150,000 just for the planning grant. So we started pulling partners together. Well, the governor had an announcement. We invited people, and people started calling us every day. Frontier, which is a communication network, I want to be involved. You know, everybody knows, everybody in West Virginia is a small state. You know everybody. All the policymakers know each other. The businesses people know each other. And everybody knows what the situation is in McDowell to some extent. We spend a lot of time in McDowell County talking to the educators, talking to the students, talking to the policymakers, the community at large, to ask them, you know, do you want us to help you? Because this has to be their project in McDowell County. And, you know, the people really are not looking for a handout here. They're looking for a hand up. They're looking for a helping hand. They want us to help them.
So they recognized there was a problem.
Absolutely. They're seeing...
Now, did they come to you or did you go to them?
We initially, the state board, Gail Manchin, came to us first. And then we went to the superintendent, the county superintendent in McDowell County, and he put together our first meeting there with about 500 people, and including educators, community leaders, policy, the spiritual community, and we started meeting with those people, having meetings in different parts of the county, and talking to them. That was all part of our assessment, because, you know, we don't go in and say, this is what these are your problems, and this is how you can fix them. We wanted to know from them what they felt their challenges were and how we could help them with those challenges. It has been an amazing journey. The partners all signed a covenant of commitment. This is a five-year project, or a five-year commitment. We're not going to get everything done in 5 years that needs doing, but like transportation, for example, that's going to take a while, but Congressman Ray Hall is working on that with his institute. You know, you go down into McDowell and you find there's not a running track in the county. There is very, very little recreation for the children. They go up into the hollows in the summer, and they don't come out because there's no gasoline. If they have a vehicle, the buses, the school buses, you know, is a means of their transportation. They don't go to after-school activities because they have to go home on the bus and they can't get back to the after-school activities. There have been a lot of things done, like they put some health clinics in a couple of the high schools. But there has not been, we want these schools to be actually, you know, the hub of the community. So what we have done, we have, for example, with the drug problem, we went to the state Supreme Court of Appeals and said we need a juvenile drug court in McDowell County. And in 2 weeks, we had a judge step up, and we have a juvenile drug court.
Judy Hill, I'm going to ask you to hold that thought because we need to take a break here. I am just enthralled. Nobody ever gets me this quiet. I'm just I got to hear the rest of the story. We're going to get to as much of it as we can. And then you need to make a commitment before we have to break that you and I are going to stay in touch.
Okay.
All right, because I want to see how this thing works.
All right.
All right, a quick break here, folks. We'll come back on the other side and clean it up here at the AFT convention. Stay with us. I'm Tony Trupiano. My guest is Judy Hill, and we'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
I'll pay higher taxes. I look at it this way. I can pay higher taxes and people can have jobs, or I can pay lower taxes and I have my kid's teacher asking me for a loan because she's going to lose her house, which is true.
On 1310 WDTW.
This is U.S. Congressman Gary Peters, and I'm running for re-election in the 14th District. Other communities in this new district, like Pontiac, Southfield, and Oak Park, already know my passion for serving. They know my track record of getting things done, like helping President Obama pass the health care bill and save the auto industry. They know that I also helped create nearly 3,500 jobs in our area. And while I may not be from Detroit, the fights I've led in Congress have benefited struggling families across this city. That's why this message is for you, Detroit. I firmly believe that our region will never be successful without a vibrant city of Detroit. If you vote for me, I commit to you that no other candidate will ever outwork me, and that no other community will ever outweigh you. I'm asking for the honor of serving you in the new 14th Congressional District, and more importantly, I'm asking for your vote. I'm Gary Peters, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Peters for Congress.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting
for you now.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org. Or call 248-585-9671.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
No Show in Michigan covers education, teachers, and the people who fight for their well-being, like First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now,
live from the American Federation of Teachers Convention in downtown Detroit,
here's Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. I am Tony Trupiano. Judy Hill is my guest. She is the president of the American Federation of Teachers of West Virginia. She's talking about this amazing McDowell project in West Virginia. You were saying before the break that you got the courts involved. You needed a juvenile court division
yes.
in this county. I'm assuming that it's moved the dial. It's making a difference.
It is. It's been up and running for about 2 months now, and they're going to give us an adult drug court also. So
is the drug problem there mostly because of unemployment and the economic disparity in that area?
It is. There are about, I think, 72% of our children who live in homes where there is no one employed in that home.
72%?
And so it creates this kind of hopelessness. And, the economy is one of the things that we're going to have to deal with. And, it is so overwhelming, but it is so exciting. And what has been so heartwarming are things. The governor gave Save the Children $1 million. And so we started last year. They're doing early literacy in 3 of our 8 elementary schools. And they're going to make a difference with that. We have Cisco, which is our only Fortune 500 partner right now. We have about 80 partners now. And they're working with the technology committee, and by September, when school starts, we're going to have enough bandwidth in every one of the schools, and a technology company out of Shentel is going to wire 10,000 homes. So, we've got things that keep coming at us. We passed a couple of pieces of legislation. One of their biggest problems there is that we can't recruit people, teachers, to the
that
classroom.
That was my next question.
There's nowhere for them to live. The AFL-CIO, there's no middle-class housing. There, it's mostly, it's very mountainous.
When you say rural, you mean rural.
Yeah, there's very little flat land in McDowell County. And the AFL-CIO loaned some money to, or gave some money to, a project that built 5 houses. It was the first middle-class housing built in 20 years.
How quickly did they go?
Yeah. So we have teachers who come in, and they will come from other states. They will hear about this, and they'll have a U-Haul, and so the people in the board office try to find them a place to live, and they're... And they pull out at the end of the day because they can't find a place to live. So one of the things we're doing is trying to get the funds to build a teacher village. We are hoping to and we put a down payment down on a building that's going to house about 25 lofts or apartments so that we can recruit so that people can have a place, a decent place to live when they come. The other thing we did was a couple of pieces of legislation this last legislative session. One is called our Teacher in Residence Program. And the teacher colleges are going to be able, if a student has completed all their coursework, taken the state test, and done everything but their student teaching, we're going to be able to move them into McDowell County to teach with 65% of a salary, because they will be, the teacher in charge. And the other 35% that would have been that salary is going to be for mentoring and help for that teacher. So we're very excited about the Teacher in Residence program.
I don't see that you would have an issue attracting teachers. I would think that this would be such an exciting challenge for a lot of people, but... They have certain reasonable expectations. One of them is that they're going to be able to grocery shop. This sounds silly maybe to people, yeah. But that is a problem.
Look, when teachers are in college, they have a social life. They have, friends. They have a decent place, where they can live. We have, on our video that we've done, we have one little gal who's on a trailer on the top of a mountain by herself, because that was the only place that she could find to live and teach there. And she said, I don't know how much longer that I can do this. So our teacher village, as we envision it, is going to have some common areas. It's going to have places for teachers to gather to work, a coffee pot or a coffee shop and that kind of thing, so that they can socialize. And we hope that's going to be a big help in terms of recruiting and keeping teachers. I heard you talk attorney in the previous section about fine arts. An arts program, music program, there is none in McDowell County. VH1 has volunteered to buy enough instruments for a middle school band. And so we've got that up and running. We have to provide, or the county has to provide, the music teacher. And so those are the kind of partnerships we're putting together. Frontier and Other Communication gave us $50,000 to do literacy with. And so we turned that over to a company called Globaloria, which is an interactive game that children play, but they're learning, but they don't know that they're learning. So we're trying to put, you know, trying to herd all of these partners together and all of us move in a direction.
Are you familiar with Mr. Holland's Opus Foundation?
Yes.
Have they stepped up?
No, we have not heard from them.
Well, I'm going to get on them.
Okay.
I know those folks.
Okay.
I'm going to get
okay.
on them.
All right.
Judy, we're going to run out of time before we get to the end of this story. You promised me that we're going to stay in touch.
Absolutely.
So we're going to make sure that we do that. What I find absolutely enthralling about this entire thing is that there's so much hope here. You know, I could sit here for another month if I had people and tell one bad news story after another. This is a good news story. People can spin it any way they want. This is a good news story, Judy Hale.
In one of our meetings, a little lady came up to us, and she was a coal miner. And she said, you know, I've raised my children, and I put them through school working in the mines. And she said, I've told them all to leave McDowell County. But you've given me some hope. Mm. I was going to leave next year when I retired, but I'm going to stay now, and that's an important thing.
I don't get the impression that you do things because you want a legacy. I get the impression you do things because it's the right thing to do. This is the right thing to do.
Well, it was like what? After Randy made a couple of visits, she looked at me and she said, Judy, how can we not do this?
Mm. Yeah, well, I mean, that I get. Are the kids showing some appreciation? And I say that for a fundamentally good reason. Not that they don't appreciate what you're doing, but at some level, they need to learn to say thank you.
We have some students, particularly one student who has just graduated, who was the student member of the State Board of Education from McDowell, who was with us here this week and helped us with this. And he and his friends at that level, at the high school level, are beginning to understand, you know, what it is we're trying to do. I'm not sure that it has, sunk down to the elementary level.
Well, it's the beginning. We're out of time, unfortunately.
Right.
Judy, thank you so much.
I love this journey.
We're going to exchange cards before we get out of here. I want to follow this story. This is a great story.
It's so exciting. We're so thrilled.
Thank you so much.
Thank
All right,
you,
folks, we got to get out of here, but we'll be back in studio tomorrow. Everybody, enjoy your day, and as always, be well.
WDTW continuous traffic watch.
As your rush hour commute picks up, we got some more problems out there. Still got that accident that's blocking the left shoulder on 75 southbound at 12 Mile Road. Got another accident that's blocking the right shoulder on 96 eastbound just as you're approaching the Livernois Grand River exit. And also on 94 westbound at US 23, a disabled vehicle is partially blocking the right lane of the ramp to US 23 southbound. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today, mostly sunny skies and a high of 87. Tonight, the clouds roll in, bringing a low of 71. Tomorrow, the storms come back with a high of 87. Right now, partly cloudy and 73. I'm Jeff, and that's your first shift weather.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
If you missed today's first shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
This is Detroit.